2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Der Herrlichkeit Gottes im Angesicht Christi erglänzen zu lassen. Wir wollen beten.
Let us pray.
Himmlischer Vater,
Heavenly Father,
von ganzem Herzen,
we thank you with all our hearts
dass diese Worte
that these words have come true
in unserem Leben.
In our lives,
du hast das Licht,
you have made the light of God's glory shine in the face of Jesus Christ. The sunshine of grace shines, as the song goes. We thank you from the bottom of our hearts for the privilege of being gathered in your name before your face to hear your word. Faithful Lord, take us today. Take all thinking, take everything captive under the obedience of your will. We consciously place ourselves under the guidance of your Holy Spirit and ask you that your precious and holy blood may cleanse and erase every stain, every guilt, every sin, so that we may enter into your presence. Faithful God, we must all cry out before you. We are of unclean lips and dwell among a people of unclean lips. May you now touch our hearts and lips, purify and sanctify them, and consecrate them to you in your holy presence. How I thank you for all my brothers and all my sisters. What a longing there is in us for fellowship with you and fellowship with one another. We ask you to bless all newcomers. It is still the time of grace, and we ask you together to help us bring in the harvest. You say, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Faithful God, bless us now and be with us by grace. May the fruit of this service be found in eternity. Answer the questions, solve the problems, save the lost, heal the sick, set the captives free, and glorify thy name and confirm thy word. We thank you for this. You are the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This afternoon, we will refrain from singing choruses. After all, singing and worship and gratitude is in most hearts. I was surprised that Brother Rus is here today without me knowing it. And I would like to ask him to address a word of greeting to us all. And then I will give a report of my last missionary trip. And then we will have a word reflection. And we hope that everyone, even those who may be here for the first time, will be addressed by God. It's a great privilege for me to be here today, and I greet you all warmly in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am so grateful that we can meet again. I'm not here very often. I wouldn't be here today either, but my uncle is very unwell, and I paid him a visit, and he was very happy. And that's why I added these 100 kilometers and came here. I wish you all God's blessing. I would also like to pass on greetings from Brother Schmidt. I told him that I would be here today, and he sends his warmest greetings to everyone. May God bless us, is my prayer. Amen. That was very short. As far as Brother Rus is concerned, I have to say with a sincere heart that we have known each other since about 1953. Yes, 53, 54. That's many years ago. And we stand together for the Lord and contend for the faith that was once for all delivered unto the saints. I have in him and in Brother Schmidt pillars that simply stand there, proven, immovable in every storm. I am deeply grateful to God for such brothers in the Krefeld congregation. You, my beloved brothers and sisters here, I could say the same of all those present. Some storms have come upon us, and others are yet to come. But by the grace of God, we will remain standing if our spiritual house has been built on the rock. Only people who have built on sand are washed away and swept away and overturned. This is what the Lord says in the parable. When the storms come and the tempest rages, it will become manifest whether you have built on rock or not. What I feel in my heart in terms of gratitude to God and also for you, only He can judge. I know that the Lord has His way with us, that He will continue His work, and that the last message will reach the ends of the earth. We will begin in Italy in the next few days. I have already mentioned it here. Pray especially for the time from the 3rd to the 11th of May. The battles, the spiritual battles, are getting more intense and more difficult, but the truth is breaking through, and all who are of the truth are hearing God's word, the whole world can be upside down. And it may sound arrogant when John wrote, "The world lies in wickedness, but we know that we are of God. And he who is of God hears us." That sounds presumptuous, but it is true. A divine commission, word of God, spiritual food, prepared for this time, for the people of God, clear and pure. And for that we are very grateful. Politically and so on, two special events have happened since last time, one in Libya and one in Rome. I was particularly moved by the events in Rome. I don't have a television, but if you have one, you shouldn't be ashamed of it. You don't need to hide it. Just put it out. But anyway, I was watching the news over there and saw the man from the Vatican in the synagogue. And you wouldn't believe it, but they were singing Psalm 150 with great enthusiasm, and this man was celebrated in the synagogue. They don't know what they are doing, but one thing you can already see today: when the ministry of the two witnesses happens after the rapture and the temple is rebuilt, how easy it will be to make a pilgrimage for this man and make the dedication so beautifully. But that is the moment when the Lord strikes him with the breath of his mouth, because then it goes too far. But we will write about these things later. They are doctrinal, they are prophetic, and they shouldn't just be hinted at. They should be dealt with thoroughly, so that everyone knows exactly how things are going. And you all know that God, without merit or worthiness, did not drop his revealed word into our laps, but into our hearts. We can't help that we are allowed to view prophetic events from a divine perspective today. And that is why we are deeply and sincerely grateful to the Lord for the ministry of Brother Branham. Without this prophetic ministry, we would not have had clarity about all these things. We would have puzzled like everyone else does, interpreted like they all do, but would not have known by revelation what it is. Then, when you hear people talking about the mark of the beast and just saying, "If you don't keep the Sabbath, you have the mark of the beast," there is confusion among all Christians. Traditions, opinions are proclaimed. Sabbath is Sabbath. The beast is the beast. The false prophet. Everything has its place. I'm only saying this now to emphasize one thing. We are wholeheartedly grateful to God. That is, I am. And I hope you are all too, for the revelation of the mysteries that had remained hidden, that were puzzled over, that were interpreted. Today, no one needs to interpret and puzzle over them. They are clear because the time of fulfillment has arrived. We have emphasized this time and again. Bible prophecy does not need to be interpreted. It must be seen in its fulfillment, accepted, and if it is meant for us, experienced. God confirms and fulfills His word by doing what He has promised. I don't know whether I said it here or elsewhere, but every time God's promises are fulfilled, light comes, clarity comes, revelation of the word and the will of God comes. But it comes where the people of God are waiting for God to confirm His word and also fulfill it. In the days of Moses, the whole world was in a mess. All of Egypt was covered with darkness, and the scripture says, a darkness so thick it can be felt. But where Israel was, and the promise, the prophet, all that God had prepared and ordained, there was bright sunshine, there was light, there was clarity, there was the word of promise, there was the thus saith the Lord, there was God working, and that's what we are about today. Not to create an atmosphere, not to be pious, but recognize God in His actions in this time, and to place everything with His help, as He has already done in the scripture. We started here with a word from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, which says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Did that happen? Then say, Amen. Hallelujah. God has let His light shine in our hearts. What did the prophet Isaiah say back then? The land of Naphtali and Zebulun, which is in darkness, has seen a great light. The Lord went to minister there. He was and is the light of the world. All are enlightened by Him. Without Him, there is neither light nor life. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. It belongs together. Not the preacher, not the man who brings God's word, but as we have said again and again, the task of preaching is to bring people into contact with God. That is the purpose of preaching the Word of God, that people are brought in contact with God through the Word and the Spirit, so that they are given clarity through the connection with God, through the Spirit and the Word. It goes on to say here, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want to read some scriptures to emphasize that. Here it says, from verse 16, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. My main concern here is that even if preachers and people withdraw and cannot go along with what God is now doing, then I and we can all make the realization and say, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known. When I read a word like that, I feel grateful inside. You all know that the path of the true servants of God was a lonely one, a steep one, a thorny one, a path crowned with misunderstandings. Our Lord says, where was there a prophet whom you did not persecute, or a messenger of God whom you did not kill, from the blood of Abel up to the blood of Zechariah? All blood has been shed. The way of the Lord was just as confusing for the people. Why? Because they were stuck in their own views and ways. And we are here today to be lifted out of our own stagnant ways, to come to the one who could say of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If God succeeds today in taking each individual out of his own way, out of his own thoughts, out of his own teachings, out of everything of his own, and placing him in the divine, then this gathering will have been worthwhile. Let us have a yes to God in our hearts, a yes to his word. Let us silently say to him, Lord, show me your way, I want to go it. Reveal your word to me, I want to believe it. If we are in this attitude of heart towards our God, under the proclamation of the word, then I tell you, God will give his blessing, and he will help, for his word cannot return void. It will accomplish what he sent it to do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says from verse 9, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Jesus Christ, our Lord, has called us with a holy calling, and I believe that this divine call came into our lives because, according to His purpose, He had already destined us before the foundation of the world to hear His word, experience His grace, and receive eternal life. This is why it could be written in Acts 13, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Believe with all your heart that God destined you before the foundation of the world to live not only temporally here on earth, but eternally in glory. And you will see that through this faith in the plan of God, which He is realizing, something will also open up in you to receive and believe the divine, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace. What a powerful word! Not on the basis of works, lest anyone should boast. If anyone wants to glory, let him glory in the Lord. Let him glory in the grace of God that has been made manifest in us. And if anyone wishes to give thanks, let him give thanks to the Lord, who stepped into the breach and paid the costly price at Calvary. And also this verse here, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The proclamation of these marvelous things that God has given us takes place through the gospel. Gospel means good news to the sinner that he is saved, to the sick that he is healed, good news to everyone in every situation. Whoever wants to come to the Lord. That is why the Savior said at that time, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why do we go out? Why do we preach the word? To offer people the unfathomable riches of God that have been given to us in Jesus Christ, to familiarize them with them. It continues here from verse 12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. What a marvelous word! Dear brother, dear sister, dear friends, today we also want to say it with certainty, I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I have put my trust. And God is faithful. He keeps His promises. Scripture cannot be broken. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord today shall and will be saved. For thus it is written in the prophet Joel. And so Peter mentioned it in the first sermon at Pentecost. So Paul writes here, for I know whom I have believed. Hallelujah. You have to give your heart space to be able to confidently utter a hallelujah, an amen, a praise be to God. Say it for yourself, to your God, in your heart. Lord, I know in whom I believe. I know in whom I have put my trust. If we had put our trust in ourselves, in me, in you, in others, we would be put to shame. But those who trust in the Lord will not and cannot be put to shame, for He ensures that the promises are fulfilled. It continues here, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Yes, He who began will also finish. He can save, sustain, preserve. He can even lift up when someone has fallen. He can steady the feeble knees and strengthen the weak hands. He can do everything. Let us trust Him today. Let us take Him at His word and tell Him, Lord, we have come to be strengthened by You, to be blessed by You. We are here to experience You anew. How we all wish for an intimate fellowship with our God. A new experience with our Lord that makes us so fresh, so happy, that fills us inwardly with a new certainty that the Lord is with us, that we have found grace with Him. We have also emphasized this here, as Moses expressed it in Exodus 33. Lord, if I have found grace in Thy sight, let me know Thy ways. And we have seen it since the days of Abraham, and perhaps even before. God has made His ways known to all His servants. We can read in Genesis 18, verse 17, where the Lord says, how can I keep secret from Abraham what I intend to do? Our God does nothing but reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Amos chapter 3, verse 7. And the Lord is and remains the same in the Old and in the New Testament. How wonderful that we can say from the heart, the Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus in the New Testament, the great I Am, the Lord who spoke to the prophets and who then became flesh himself in order to redeem us who are in this body of flesh. Let us read from Acts chapter 22 from verse 6. There are three words that touched my heart when I read this word earlier. Acts 22 from verse 6. And it came to pass, these three words touched my heart. Let us read on. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. Especially these three words, that's when it happened. We need to know of a day, of an hour, of a place where we had our encounter, our experience with the Lord. We must be able to say, that's when it happened. Even after years and years, we must be able to point back to the point or place and say, that's when it happened. That's when the Lord spoke to me. That's when he surrounded me. That's when he called me. That's when he commissioned me. That's when he sent me. That's when he saved me. That's when he pardoned me. That you can simply say, today it can happen. Today we can experience God. And don't think that we are only here to talk about what others have experienced with God. Believe that we are here today to experience the same things with God and to receive from Him what our brothers and sisters in the early church experienced with God and received from Him. Do you agree with that? If we only think we have Paul in front of us and think it happened there, then it will pass us by like a film that we might watch. No, we want to experience God. We want to be able to say today, it happened on Sunday afternoon in Zurich, in the Volkshaus, in the White Hall. We want to be able to say, that's when it happened. God spoke to me then. He gave me light and clarity. He convicted me of sin and showed me my lost state. That's when I recognized myself That's when I recognized him. That's when it happened. Let's read on. You know the story. I will now read from verse 12. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him
und konnte wieder sehen. Auch danach hätte er
even after that he could have written or said, then it happened. When God reveals himself to us, when we have an encounter with the Lord, something happens. When he speaks to us, when he calls us, light and life come, clarity comes, our eyes are opened. When they have been opened, we are destined to pass on the same light to others. And that's what we read here in verse 14. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. What a prophecy, a beautiful prophecy. This Ananias prophesied. He was a man who had a connection to God, who was led by the Spirit, who could be used as an instrument in the hand of God, and that in a powerful way. The following should be emphasized in particular. He has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will. How would it be possible to proclaim the will of God to others if you did not recognize it yourself? How would it be possible to declare the prophetic part of the plan of salvation if God had not revealed and unveiled the hidden mysteries? Let me insert here already. God has ordained Brother Branham to emphasize the prophetic and doctrinal part in this generation, and has confirmed his ministry in an incomparable way, that all who want to believe, because they have not only heard words, but have also seen and experienced the divine confirmation as legitimation. And yet the Lord says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him first. Why have we come? Because we felt the divine pull. We could no longer resist it. It got stronger and stronger. And now we can look back and say, that's when it happened. That's when it happened. There are many experiences we were able to have by the grace of God. If Brother Branham could be here today, he would be able to point to the 11th of June, 1933, at the end of Spring Street, right at the river, and say, that's when it happened. When the bright light broke through the cloud around 2 p.m. and the voice spoke, as John was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ, so you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. He could say, that's when it happened. Whoever sees the picture with a pillar of fire above his head, to him he could say, it happened in January 1950 in Houston, Texas. He could say, that's where it happened. John the Baptist could have pointed to the place where the heavens opened and the Spirit descended. He could have said, that's where it happened. The 120 could have pointed back to the upper room and said, that's where it happened. Beloved, when we read the Holy Scriptures, we have enough examples of people experiencing God. We are the living, walking testimony of the living God here on earth, in the midst of a world that even denies the existence of God for the most part. And we may enjoy the blessings of our God again and again. Now comes the most powerful. Here in Acts 22, from verse 14 it says, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will, and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise, and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. What was it? A whole conversion, including baptism. We don't want to serve the Lord halfway, but all the way. The hour is just here when God wants us completely. If we were destined to know His will, why should we not do it? The following is said by the same Paul in Acts 26, verse 18. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. This is about opening eyes. First, his eyes were opened. He was surrounded by the light. Then, he was destined to open the eyes of others. And whether you believe it or not, wherever God's word is preached, because it has been revealed, people's eyes are also opened. They are anointed. They see what they could not see before. They hear what they could not hear before. God has ordained that through the proclamation, clarity, enlightenment, revelation, that everything is given by God through the proclamation of His Word, that His Spirit can hover over the congregation to bring the Word to life and reveal it to the individual. Since we are also concerned with the prophetic part of the plan of salvation, let me read here from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. The word known to us all. 2 Peter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We have the word of prophecy, and this prophetic word, having been divinely revealed, shines as a bright light in a dark place. Then it happened. Today it can happen that God gives us clarity about the fact that we are now living in the prophetic concluding part of the plan of salvation. In the prophet Daniel, in chapter 12, in verse 8 and 9, we read the following. Daniel 12, verses 8 and 9. And I heard, but understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Not forever, but only until the end times. And since we are now living in the end times, we can compare the prophetic part that is now being fulfilled with a word of prophecy. We may observe how all these things are being fulfilled before our eyes. And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. No longer. Now is the end time. And I'm writing it in the upcoming brochure. Not because we have read the Bible more or can have a better understanding of it. No. It is not that, but because the time is fulfilled, because the hour of God is here, the message of God is here, The last work of God is here. The calling out of the bride church is taking place. Her preparation for the great and glorious day. As you know, when this topic is mentioned, you always hear people say, this was already expected hundreds of years ago. And someone recently said to me, my grandmother was already counting on the return of the Lord. And so was my mother. And now I'm already old. How can I still believe in it? Then a word came into my heart or mind. If the grandmother and mother had not waited for the coming of the Lord, they would not even be there when the Lord comes to take his own home. It is simply a promise that all those who have loved his appearing, people, no matter at what time they lived, when they will be in glory, they will have expected the Lord's return in their time. If this was not the case, they will not be there at all when he returns and the dead in Christ are resurrected. And I will tell you why. In all true believers, there is a living divine hope, and it cannot be suppressed. It lives, it moves. You know what I mean. We do not have a dead God, nor a dead faith. We have a risen Lord. We have a living hope. And if Paul could write even then, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Then he was not mistaken at all, for the word of God is valid for the entire period of time, until time will merge into eternity. Many have already fallen asleep, but we are still alive, so we are here. He was absolutely not mistaken. What he wrote is also being fulfilled before our eyes. This word will also be fulfilled, that all who are left will be changed, and the mortal will put on immortality, and the corruptible will put on incorruption. We, who are of advanced age, sometimes have a little trouble with our earthly bodies. I have already said that here too. Let us rejoice in this and take comfort in the words that one day we will be young again and will never be able to grow old, but will be with the Lord for eternity, without worry, without sickness, without suffering, without death. What eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, this God has prepared for those who love him. Of course, I can understand all those who look at the young people at 16 and 17 and think to themselves, well, it would be nicer if I were 16 or 17 again. Don't worry. That's what we'll all be when the Lord returns. Young, healthy, without a trace of sin, suffering, death, everything. The old will have passed away, and everything will have become new. If we can summarize what we are looking at here this afternoon, then the point is that we can say, that's when it happened. That's when I met the Lord. That's when I heard God's word for the first time. That's when I consecrated my life to God. That's when I recognized the truth. That's when God opened my heart. He opened my eyes. That's where He gave me clarity. You could write sentences, even pages, about what God has given us and what we have experienced with Him. That's when it happened. The important thing is that we can say, I know who I believe in. I have met Him. I have experienced Him. It happened here and there. I said it yesterday in Salzburg. I don't just want to have preached. I want to see all those who have heard the word of God from my mouth before the throne of God. And that is where our endeavors, our prayers, and our preaching are directed. Everything has one goal: to see the blood-bought multitude, pardoned by God, prepared and adorned as a bride who can go out to meet her bridegroom. We can do no more than believe God. We cannot decorate and dress up ourselves. No, the Lord does it by taking His word into us and allowing His Spirit to work in and on us. God is still doing great things. He is still speaking to people. He still has the proclamation. He still has an Ananias. He still has servants whom He can send, whom He can use, whom He can bless. May it be close to all our hearts, that many may still be called out and prepared for the great and glorious day. And those who are perhaps downcast today, beloved, we are all still on earth. May no one believe that every day can be pure sunshine. Through tribulation here, the road to you goes, as the song goes. A Stephen was stoned to death, and the apostles, the prophets, as already mentioned, walked difficult paths. Let us only expect from God what He has planned for us. No one of us can choose our own path. Your path and mine has been determined by God. Walk it in faith. Walk it, if possible, without quarreling with God, without arguing with Him about it. It may be a difficult path, but it leads to the glory of God. If there are those here who have not yet experienced God, let Jesus, our Lord, call out to you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest unto your souls. We have everything in our Lord, the Savior, the healer, basically everything we need, we have in Him. And the Holy Scripture says, how shall God not with Him also freely give us all things? God cannot withhold anything from us. No, He wants to give us the fullness. For the Lord said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. We expect a complete restoration from God before the return of the Lord, with everything that goes with it, so that the power of God can be revealed as the Word of God was revealed. You all know, God never sends His Word alone. He sends His Word to show us what He wants to do. And we believe the word of promise, and then we will see it fulfilled. Even if we have to wait for it, we hear the prophet in the Old Testament say, though the vision tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. We wait for what God has promised us. We know in whom we have put our trust, and no one will be put to shame, not even you. Dear brother, dear sister, do not be unbelieving any longer. Do not look at yourself, and do not look at the circumstances, because the worst sin is the sin of unbelief. Even if you do not yet see the solution, believe that God has already given it, and it will come to you. Please, whatever you do, but don't doubt what God has promised, because that makes Him a liar. God is true. His word is certain. What He has promised, He keeps. All God's promises are yes and are amen. Can you say that? Every promise will be fulfilled because the holy mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God is not a man. God is God, and He is above all, and the power of Satan will be made His footstool, and the victory of our God will be revealed, just as it was given by grace at Calvary. Believe, and it will happen to the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us rise and give thanks to the Lord. Faithful God, because of the faith we have received through the preaching of Your Word from the sermon, we come together before Your throne of grace to thank You that You now walk through our ranks and confirm Your word to all who have a need, a concern, whatever they may have. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words alone, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Beloved Lord, stretch out Your arm. Let great signs and wonders take place through the holy name of Jesus, through the power of God. Let it be done now for your honor and your glory. Faithful God, if we have believed, it has happened. And we thank you from the bottom of our hearts and say together, Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Beloved Lord, let the hour of the glorification of your name and the confirmation of your word have come. Raise up your people, O God. How we thank you that we too can say, there it happened. Hallelujah. And we may summarize by pointing to a place where it happened with us and for us at the cross of Calvary. That is where it happened. Hallelujah. There it happened for you. There it happened for me. It is finished for you, for me, for us. The lost are saved. The sick have been healed. The captives are set free. The acceptable time, the day of salvation, the year of Jubilee, the year that does not have 365 days, but only comes to an end when the time of grace is over. This year of Jubilee, when liberty is proclaimed to all who are bound, and it is written that they shall be loosed. May the Spirit of the Lord God rest upon the church, upon all the people of God, that those who are bound, who come in, may be set free, and the lost saved, and the sick healed. Raise your church to the divine state, you faithful Lord. Let everything return to the way it was in the beginning. Oh, we thank you. That's when it happened. Glorious Golgotha, glorious Savior, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You have not only redeemed us, you have revealed yourself to us. You spoke to us. You gave us light and clarity. We thank you for this. Give us in the near future a walking forward, a breakthrough. My God, take away all sighing and complaining, all moaning. Give us faith and trust. For we do not trust in ourselves, but in you, the living God. You have already triumphed. You are the victor of Golgotha. Hallelujah. To your name, faithful God, I know that my Redeemer lives. Lord, we know that you have worked in our midst today. People will be able to say, that's when it happened. Lord, I thank you for this and give you alone the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen.